Good morning. In the previous studies, we've seen that baptism is essential to salvation. Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And in Acts 2:38, Peter tells those on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And Acts 22:16, it is also essential to becoming disciples of Christ. Matthew 28:19-20, and Galatians 3:27. We have also seen in our previous studies that baptism is for immersion, for the Greek words can only mean immersion. Pouring and sprinkling do not fit with figures used to describe baptism in the New Testament. Scholars are unanimous in pointing out that immersion was the practice in the Bible and early church. Two more questions remain which are often in the minds of people. Should infants be baptized? And number two, is there ever a need to be rebaptized? This study will consider the question, what about infant baptism? My first point is to suggest that infant baptism is not Bible baptism. Bible baptism requires immersion. We have seen that pouring or sprinkling is not a baptism. Therefore, infant baptism, as commonly practiced, is really a misnomer. Infant pouring or infant sprinkling would be a more accurate description. Only if the infant is immersed could it be called infant baptism. Of course, immersion is not the only thing which constitutes Bible baptism. Bible baptism requires certain prerequisites. Bible baptism requires faith. In Acts 8:35-38, Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preaching to him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Notice the eunuch's question and Philip's response. See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? If you believe with all your heart, you may, said Philip. If one believes, they may be baptized. Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Infants, however, are incapable of belief. Bible baptism also requires repentance. In Acts 2:38, Peter tells those people on the day of Pentecost to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If one is a penitent believer, they may be baptized, but infants are incapable of repentance. The first thing to realize about infant baptism is that it's not baptism in the strictest sense of the word. Nor is it the baptism spoken of in the New Testament, which was only for those who possess faith and a penitent heart. Another point to consider is infant baptism is not necessary. The rise of infant baptism in the early church needs to be looked at. Even those who later approved of infant baptism admit that one could not prove it from the Scriptures. It cannot be proved by the sacred scriptures that infant baptism was instituted by Christ or begun by the first Christians after the apostles, Martin Luther, on rebaptism. Infant baptism was established neither by Christ nor the apostles. In all places where we find the necessity of baptism notified, either in a dogmatic or historical point of view, it is evident that it was only meant for those who were capable of comprehending the word preached and of being converted to Christ by an act of their own will. Jacoby, Article on Baptism in Kiddo's Cyclopedia of Biblical Literature, Volume 1, page 287. If this is true, when did the practice of infant baptism begin? The earliest mention of infant baptism is around 200 A.D., The practice began only after the doctrine of original sin had been developed. The early theological development of the doctrine of original sin contributed to the importance of infant baptism, Christianity Through the Centuries, page 160. The whole basis of infant baptism, therefore, lies in the assumption that infants are born in sin. Are babies born in sin? Of course, the doctrine of original sin means different things to different people. Some understand it to refer only to inheriting the fallen nature of Adam and not any personal guilt of his. But the common conception includes the idea of inheriting the guilt of Adam's sin as well, meaning that babies are born in sin and guilty of sin. It is this later understanding that led to the practice of infant baptism. People are not held accountable for the guilt of their forefathers. God has clearly said that He does not hold the child guilty for the sins of the father. In Ezekiel 18 and verse 20, we read, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." Paul described a time in his life when he was alive before he became a sinner, Romans chapter 7, 7 through 11. According to the common idea of original sin, this would have been impossible, but not if children are born free from the guilt of sin and remain so until they reach an age of accountability. Consider also the nature of the new covenant. In Hebrews 8, 6 through 13, the Hebrew writer says, "But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers, in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, A new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away." One of the notable features about the new covenant is, "None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them." In other words, no one enters into this new covenant without already knowing the Lord. Unlike the old covenant, where people entered the covenant by virtue of birth into the family, Israel, where males entered the covenant by virtue of circumcision when 8 days old, where as they grew older, they had to be taught to know the Lord. When infant baptism is practiced, this distinctive feature of the new covenant is no longer present. Children who have supposedly entered a covenant relationship with the Lord still need to be taught as they get older. They have to be taught to know the Lord. This distinctive feature of the new covenant is true only when baptism, the means by which we enter the covenant relationship with the Lord today, is administered to penitent believers. Those who enter the covenant have already been taught about the Lord by the gospel of Christ. Should infants be baptized? The answer is yes, if we can show one example in the New Testament where infants were baptized, that they meet the prerequisites of faith and repentance required of all those baptized in the New Testament, that they can know the Lord somehow before they enter into the relationship baptism places them, and so do not need to be taught to know the Lord. But the biblical facts are, there is not one case of infant baptism in the New Testament. Only those who believe and have repented may be baptized. To baptize infants would make the point of Hebrews 8:11 without meaning. The logical conclusion from the biblical evidence is that babies are born into this world without the personal guilt of their ancestors, are not lost and in need of salvation, are safe, not saved, for they are never lost, remain safe until they reach an accountable age where they become guilty of their sins and in need of salvation. Friends, what if you were baptized as an infant? Most likely you were not actually baptized or immersed, simply sprinkled. Even if immersed, it was not Bible baptism, which requires faith and repentance. Thus, you are still in need of obeying the word of the Lord. Don't place your faith in the traditions of men or in the doctrines of some church. Place your faith in God's word and obey it accordingly. If you would like a copy of this document, please let me know and I'll send it to you. Just give me a call at 330-682-3896. If we can help you in any way, please let us know. And until next week, may God bless and keep you.